from PRX.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, and friends beyond the binary, it's time for the podcaster. I'm trying to create a good place to sleep, but it's kind of more of a good place for you to relax and get comfortable. A nice place, a good place, a good place would be nice, and a nice place would be good. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do here, just like different than what they do on the show, The Good Place, but we'll be talking about that later. But I'm glad you're here. Welcome, as they once said in the on the wall outside the where everything started, on a wall in a waiting room that doesn't get done enough credit, probably. It's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that fixates on walls and waiting rooms, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And here's a couple of ways that we're able to keep this podcast free for everybody. Hey, everybody, it's Scoots. A lot of these episodes were recorded a few months ago, so before we get to the sleepy supporter zone, I just wanted to check in with you and let you know the podcast is going to be here twice a week for you on our regular Sunday-Wednesday schedule. Daytime or nighttime, whenever you need it, you could call it up if you need a break or you need some rest. But you might be out there and you might need something more. So I'm going to have links to support, and I'm going to be collecting new links and stuff. Right now, I'm going to put them in the show notes. So if you find you need to reach out somewhere for help, I'll have links to different places you could do that. And as I hear about more and more resources, I'll try to build a page or something for that. But for now, they'll be in the show notes. Because the podcast is here for you to support you and take your mind off of stuff. But if you need more support, it's out there for you. So please reach out and use those links if you need them. And if you know of any other resources, let me know. Thanks so much. All right, but this is Scoots here. This is where I ask you to, hey, if you think about signing up for Sleep With Me Plus at sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. With just a few questions. If you're new to the show, just ignore this message. Or if you only listen to Sleep With Me occasionally, or it could be easily replaced by another show, not important. Do you listen to Sleep With Me regularly? Yes. But yeah, does it improve your life in any way at all? And would you miss Sleep With Me if we stopped making it? Like, how much would you be willing to give on an annual basis or a monthly basis to say, hey, go ahead and start that podcast back up? So this is a way of not doing that. I'm asking, If the answer to those questions are yes, yeah, you're a regular listener. Yes, Sleep With Me improves your life. Yes, I could and would pay for the show if it was missing from my life. I'd pay to get it back. Or if you lost it, like you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Could you help me find it? And this is a reward, whatever, $120. I need my year of Sleep With Me back. Or you would find a way to support the show if you said, well, now I got to put up a poster. If the answers are yes, I do need, we're kind of in that place right now, and the whole podcasting industry is in that place more or less, where it's like, hey, I really need you to think about supporting the show right now if the answer is yes to those questions. So we don't have to go through, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Because I don't want that. I love making the show. It does take a team of people to make the show. So think about it. sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. If you get a lot out of the show and you'd miss it and you'd say, where has my Sleep With Me podcast gone? Sign up for sleepwithmepodcast.com/plus. And I'll thank you. Believe me, I'll send you a video and say thanks. Thanks so much. It's time for the Sleepy Supporter Zone, the part of the podcast where I thank the people who supported the sponsors, who support the podcast. So support within support. I wanted to thank Maggie May and Mickey, who both supported Sleep Phones. Let Sleep Phones know about it. Let me know about it. I really appreciate it. I want to thank Maggie May and Mickey. If you want to be on the Sleepy Supporter Zone and you support a sponsor, tag them, tag me, so they know about it. They know they're getting value out of supporting the show, that it really has meaning to you and to them right now. And I can try to thank you in the Sleepy Supporter Zone, but I also want you to know there's support out there for you beyond supporting the podcast. If you're looking for support, I'm going to have links in the show notes to resources. They'll be right there in the show notes. So if you're in need of support, I want you to reach out and get some because there's support out there for you. And those resources will be in the show notes. Just click through on your podcast app. You'll see them there. And because it's really, I might be here to support good sleep in the podcast, but in the end, it's about you getting the help you need. So that's, you know, what the real support of the show's about. So with that, that's the end of the Sleepy Supporter Zone. Oh, Mystery Bard, a lot of people help out on this show. Who are they?
Chris Posty Posterson. Sounds like an earful. Wrote the theme song. Edits episodes. Carl W. The Legend. Also edits episodes. Kenny, Scotty, and Jennifer. Runner, 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 runner. Eric and the team at Astound are on the website. I am the Mystery Bard. I do the lullabies, yeah. I do commissions at JonathanMann.net. I'll write a song for you. Any reason at all. You can tell me the story and I'll make it personal. You see the kindness shine straight on through when the listeners form their own Facebook group. Keith, Stacy, Sarah, Julie, and Jennifer. These are your narrators. Get support, dear Scooter, on Patreon. Buy the merch and support the sponsors. You can find anything you want at sleepwithmepodcast.com. And we're so proud that we could dance to be part of Night Vale Presents. So now on with the show.
Thanks, Mystery Bard. I'm at Dear Scooter on Twitter and Instagram. That's where you can find me. But also sign up for our newsletter, sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. When there is news from the newsletter, you won't want to miss out on it. So one day, that newsletter, there'll be news. So check it out, sleepwithmepodcast.com/newsletter. You'll be ahead of it. And what do you say we get on with the show? Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble staying asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. We do with a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to try to create a safe place where you could set aside whatever's keeping you awake, whether it's thoughts, feelings, physical sensations. So anything on your mind coming up, going through your mind. Thoughts, feelings, you know, thoughts, I said, I mentioned thoughts a few times, repetitive thoughts, feelings, so they could be emotions that are bubbling up related to the thoughts or unrelated, they're just there, percolating, a word that just doesn't get used enough by me, though then it gets overused, so that's why then they say you gotta take a break, let things percolate. I love saying, let me let things percolate, any emotions doing emotions and percolation, maybe because you could be a scientist. You have like, can you imagine? You say like the difference between someone who's like, well, we'll come back to this. I was gonna say, yeah, let me come. No, let's talk about it right now. Let's take a little meander. So, what if you were like, I've never heard of this to be honest. So, the once upon a time. There was a method of making coffee, which you could probably still do, called percolation. I'll be honest, I have no idea. It involved bubbles and stuff. And I think it was popular in the 80s or the 70s. I don't know if I've ever had percolated coffee, but I do remember some people, like, going to people's houses that had it, because it was in, like, kind of like an electric kettle that you see today, but you, like, integrated the coffee in there. And it had a clear thing in the top where you could see the coffee bubbling up. I don't know if that meant it was done or not. Also, to answer other people's questions, I'm not sure if you can make tea in a coffee percolator. I've already forgot part of my art. Like, well, I was going to wonder, so what if there was, because nowadays we have a lot of different ways of making and consuming coffee, and each genre or niche of coffee brewing, as well as many other stages in the coffee consumption and production process, have their own fans. So I'm sure, or I guess I'm assuming, don't mean to make an ass out of you and me percolators, but that there may be a smaller group of coffee fans that are into percolation still, and they say, oh boy, or maybe percolation was a disaster, that's why we don't have it anymore. But they would say, oh boy, I only drink that sweet, sweet percolated coffee, which is extra bitter and not sweet at all, but sweet to me. And you say, interesting. Oh boy, I like my coffee extra gritty And I say, okay, like, I don't know if that's what I'm not throwing shade at percolated coffee, not shade grown either. But so I'm sure percolated coffee people, there may be percolated coffee fans out there, right? And there may be just other people that are like, that's how I drank my coffee my whole life. That I'm not going to change. And those may be called permanent percolators, which just because I love alliteration. But then there could be scientists, because I think that's also some sort of scientific method or something. You know, we got to go, you know, before we do the osmosis, we got to do the percolation. Then there's people like me that don't actually know how percolation works, but I constantly use it to talk about thinking about, well, I got to, you know, let it percolate for a while, which I assume means to sink and then bubble back up. That's what it means to me. And, you know, but bubble, you know, like a bit like what they call that earth before it was started. I always forget that term. When the earth was bubbling and there was no land, you know, before the land, I always think of miasma, but that's not the word. They say not the vestigial earth either, but that was back when we had vestigial stuff. But I was going to say those people have much different relationships to the word percolation than I do. I just use it to go off topic because whatever's keeping you awake is what I was talking about when I went off topic there. But so I'm here to take your mind off whatever's keeping you awake, your thoughts, feelings, or physical sensations. The way I'm going to do it is I'm going to create a safe place. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. I'm going to use lulling, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones. A bit like that percolated coffee. You say, boy, I could taste the creaky dulcet in here. Maybe, depending on what percolated coffee actually tastes like. The Percolator, a newsletter for coffee percolation fans or fans, or that could be our podcast. Percolator podcast doesn't sound good. Percolation, but I like the Percolator. That could be, hey, this is a Percolator coming at you live at Percolate 102. On your FM dial. It could be, we don't just play classic rock. We play ancient rock and, you know, rock that technically would be classic rock, but people, you know, they don't want to, like, Percolator 102. So, whatever, send my voice across it. Loving, soothing, creaky, dulcet tones, pointless meanders. Here's the thing, if you're new, already done a few. Superfluous tangents. I'm going to go off topic. So, if you're new, here's a few things to know, because you got a little bit of a demonstration there. I'm not gonna, I don't directly ever get to anything. So this is kind of a podcast that's here to keep you company while you fall asleep. You don't necessarily really need to fully listen to it. You could kind of barely listen. You could listen in a fuzzy way or out of focus way. But if you're new, just kind of see how it goes. I would understand if you're new and you're skeptical or doubtful or whatever that is, like where you're like, oh, I'm not so sure about this. That's totally, it makes total sense. And then you might say, what the heck is a perk? Like you say, I don't know what this person is talking about. What does this have to do with a sleep podcast, percolated coffee? And I'd say, yeah, just kind of loosely go with it. This is a podcast you don't need to listen to. The other thing is it's a sleep podcast that's not necessarily here to put you to sleep. It's here to kind of keep you company as you drift off. So see how it goes. That's like it's a bit of a conundrum, I guess. It's like I'm here to keep you company. So like that's why the episodes are about an hour, to give you plenty of time to fall asleep. And if you can't sleep, as some listeners can't, I'm here to keep you company to the very end. That's why I make the show. I believe you deserve a good night's sleep. You deserve a place of respite. And if I could provide it, it would be my honor. And it would make the world a better place. It's just that simple. It'd be a servant. Like, I mean, it's my dream because I've been there and I know how it feels. So those are two things if you're new. So percolate, let those percolate, right? It's almost like that would be one thing they don't say, because I don't even know like about a percolator. It's, you know, there's a truism, they say, watched pot never boils. But you'd say, like, an electric kettle goes really fast. Even, you know, in the past 20, 30, 40 years, they've gone pretty fast. And I would say a percolator in my mind, the percolator in my mind is an electric kettle-like thing. And if you watch that, I don't even know what it's doing. You'd say, watched percolator. I don't even know what it's doing. It's kind of bubbling. It's doing something. Sometimes it's not. Perplexed by the percolator. That would be a segment, I guess, on the percolator. I guess that's more of a newsletter, though, the percolator. So I don't know what I was talking about. Oh, I'm here to keep you company and put you to sleep. Yeah, I don't know. So, but structurally, this is other stuff that could throw off a new listener. So if you're thrown off, totally understandable. The structure of the show, and I do explain this a lot, but I realize it's like 12 minutes into the show, so it's not going to do everybody good, especially people that are already, you know, sending me an email. So the show starts off with about 2 to 4 minutes of business normally. Sometimes it might be a little bit longer, but that's my goal. Then there's an intro, and the intro is about 12 to 20 minutes of me just rambling. Tonight it happens to be about like a word I keep using, and I can't stop using it now, but I'll try a little experiment to not use it right this second. So that's the intro, and the reason the intro is what can throw people off the most. It's not a... It's kind of an essential part of the show for the majority of listeners because it's a wind down moment, like 12 to 18 minutes before the story starts, or tonight before we talk about The Good Place, where you could be getting ready for bed. You could be foam rolling. You could be stretching. You could be, you know, brushing your teeth. You could be moisturizing. You could be petting pets, you could be resting, doodling, knitting, sitting, chilling, looking out the window, maybe you're, whatever you could be doing any of those things, or you could be already in bed, getting ready to wind down, getting comfortable, getting cozy. You know, when your bed goes from that unbelievable, I mean, if you keep the room as cool as I do, which most people don't, how cold is my room? Ice cold, And so when I first get in bed, I say this bed's never going to get warm. And eventually it does, but that takes a little while. And then as I'm getting cozy, that's part of my wind down routine. So the intro is kind of that long to ease you into bedtime. I don't know. And to ease your thoughts into the world of the podcast, the world of nonsense, probably of non sequiturs. To de-percolate, I guess you'd say, well, we got, what are you doing? Well, I got to wrap up my day here at the great, liquid lab. You say, well, what do you have to do to finish up your day? Well, thanks for coming on this tour, kids. You're the only one that was interested in, you're the only one that took this tour out of your whole high school. Oh, everyone else went to the taffy factory. Well, yeah, first I got to do some reverse osmosis and then some de-percolation, and then I'm going to call it a day. That's how I'm wrapping things up. But the intro is kind of a de-percolation, if that's even a thing. I don't know if it is. I don't think once you've percolated water into coffee grounds, I don't know. Is there a study? Could you de-percolate or reverse osmosis it all out of there? Or is that like when you put something red in with your whites, you say, well, you could, but it's pretty unlikely. Still going to have a pink hue to it. I don't know. These are the questions we ask during the intro as you wind down. So for new listeners, it's kind of a chance for you to get an understanding of the nonsense we're up to here. And what to expect, which is me going off topic and getting a little mixed up and only kind of half interesting things. You know, you'd say this in the hands of Roman Mars would be probably interesting, or he would have said, no, let's not talk about this. And then he would have worked with this. They said, well, let's talk about this and this. But in my hands, you say, I think I saw one of those things before. I kind of barely know what you're talking. I can almost not barely relate It's not that you're unrelatable. It's that I'm not sure if I need to relate to what you're saying or not. I'm neutral, you know, and whatever the neutral version of relatable and unrelatable is. I'd say, yeah, you're right. Barely entertaining and barely, you know. Well, yeah, I don't know. There's not a word for it yet, but so that's what the intro is. When it's 12 to 20 minutes, sometimes for some new people, they can say, "What do you do? Like, what is this intro? When are you gonna get to the good place content?" And I'd say, give it that show a few tries. After a while, you might find that you do prefer to start the show at 20 minutes. Like 2 to 4% of people do. And I just heard from a couple new patrons that said, geez, I signed up. I love listening to just the story-only episodes. That's like no intro or no business or anything. So you could kind of see what works for you. But over the first few tries, it's just, I guess it's like this podcast has a lot of different ways that listeners listen. And I kind of try to make it to try to fit into, so it's kind of, that you can make adjustments for what works for you. But in the end, the podcast just doesn't work for everybody. You could kind of see, I mean, who are we kidding? You've listened to me. You say, I'm not sure about this guy. That's probably a good sign. Or I'm still skeptical. I'd say, well, that's probably a good sign too. Or you say, well, that's what I think. That's what this, I mean, a lot of listeners are like, yeah, this is what goes through my mind too. And I'd say, welcome home. And, you know, if you're on the fence, you may, eventually, this may work for you too, because you say, well, I'm not so sure about this, but I realize I don't need to listen to it. And then there's some people that are just like, I strongly dislike, like, you know, it's just not for everybody. My personality is not for everybody. My bare sense of humor is not for everybody, and my creaky dulcet tones. So I really hope the show works for you, and give it a few tries. That's what almost all the regular listeners say. And I wish it was magical that it worked for everybody. Cause like I said, I've been there this week. I've had it again. I said, what in the heck? Like yesterday or whatever the day was, I woke up in the middle, you know, I did one of those and I said, what in the heck? I'm tired here. And then I said, I don't want to, like, and then I got a debate. Should I get up and go read? So it's not nice, you know, not being able to sleep. And I want to make it a little bit better if I can. And if I can't put you to sleep, at least I can keep you company, right? And maybe you drift off, or maybe you say, I'm going to go Google percolation. Let's see where we could buy some percolated coffee. And then you'll realize, well, that's why. Like some other things, that's why it's not available anymore. But I don't know. I mean, I'm just brainstorming here. So that's it. I mean, I'm glad you're here. I really appreciate you checking the show out. I work hard. I really yearn and strive to help you fall asleep. And here's a couple of ways we're able to keep the show free for everybody. All right, everybody, it's time to talk about tonight's sponsor, Air Doctor. You know I got an Air Doctor. It is running in the other room right now, and especially in the winter. Americans spend 90% of their time indoors. We take about 20,000 breaths a day. The indoor air we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. And, you know, that comes with a lot of consequences for your health. So what's the solution? Well, an Air Doctor is the solution. It's captured the attention of CNN, Money, ABC, and more. That's the Air Doctor air purifier. Air Doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mite, mold spores, even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. You got to get yourself an Air Doctor. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com. Use the promo code SLEEP. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers. This is exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock in this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com. That's airdoctorpro.com, and use that promo code SLEEP. Thanks, everybody. All right, everybody. I want to thank Claire and tonight's sponsor for supporting this episode and providing me with some samples. You know, I suffer from seasonal allergies. Not only do they get in the way of me living my life, they get in the way of me making this podcast to put you to sleep. Because when those allergies are really kicking in, I sound weird and I do not feel good at all. Luckily, for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. The double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. And that's what I like about Claritin D. It covers all those bases. For me, I love the relief from the runny nose and the sinus pressure. Holy cow. Those two things combined, I'm like the worst two symptoms I have at the exact same time. So I love the relief Claritin brings. And I've been taking Claritin D this spring for this allergy season. And it's been a game changer because I can go out on my runs and on my trail runs and not have to worry about, am I going to be able to record the podcast tomorrow because my nose is running and my sinuses are clogged? Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. Thanks, everybody.
All right, everybody, it's time to talk about Patty. I'm not talking about my dog from my youth, Patty the dog, which is spelled the same way, P-A-T-T-Y. Just talking about the good episode, the Good Place episode, Patty, which was a good episode. It opened with a peaceful, the hot air balloon from the last episode. Really idealized night sky. Everyone's there, whole soul squad. J and J are snuggled up. Not super snuggled, but snuggled in a good way. We see a beauty. I mean, like, there's clouds, there's sparkly stars, there's a full moon. They're finally headed to the good place. The me of all places, Tahani says, are we going to the right place? Janet says, I'm sure we're going to the right place, but I've never been there. Because it feels like I'm on my way home. Then a flying puppy goes by, which has a cape and goggles. And then there's writing across the sky, which says, welcome, you are now entering. It's like in sparkly letters. And then it goes to the opening title card, The Good Place, in green. Chapter 51. Oh, boy. Is this a penultimate? I guess not, because that means 10. Is this, what do they say, like the episode before the last episode? That has a word for it. Then the balloon lands, and we're at a modern, I don't know if they filmed this at the Getty, but it was Getty-esque. Very cool and modern. Welcome Center, very, very, holy landscaping. I feel like Dorothy, some of the dialogue. There's just a lot of good jokes. Tahani gets a lot of good jokes. Jason wants to race go-karts with monkeys, his lifelong dream. He explains why. Definitely worth watching the episode to find that out. And just the acting and body language as he's talking, like explaining it. I'm seeing it out of one of my eyes right now. Then we see, let's see. Oh, maybe think of Chittenango Falls. We'll talk about that. There's a blue sign. It says, Janet's sign in here. Janet says, Jesus, I mean me. Yeah. And then she touches it. She even makes a not a girl, not a. She goes, I was born to do this, not born, which I thought was funny. There's a like a rainbow. She puts her hand over her eyes and the panel, her hand and her eyes go rainbow. And she now has all the information about the good place. In a nutshell, it slaps. But humans got to get adjusted. Jason's hoping to get some squigglies on his brain. Let's see. Brain folds. Eleanor fantasizes about some sunglasses and they appear. There's going to be a magical gala later. based on your personality. So like the targeted Instagram ad of parties. So that's when the sunglasses come up. Michael's a little stressed at first because he doesn't know if he belongs there. Yeah, he says, like, I don't know what, you know, what's going to happen. But he says, you guys have fun. Then there's a chiming chime. That's very soothing, like a brain being massaged by a baby deer. Michael's still worried. There's a good joke with a great callback with Jason and Michael. Oh, no, it has two callbacks, actually, but, wait a minute. There's another chime. Instagram ad. Oh, gray suit. I really liked Michael's. He has this nice gray suit with a blue shirt, this poppin' blue plaid bow tie, purple blues, floral pocket square with the same colors. Yeah, I'm looking at him now. Holy cow. Oh, so he was afraid he was going to throw up butterflies. That was earlier. Oh, then also Jason's t-shirt and his whole warm-up suit, blue sky warm-up suit. But, then they go in to the lobby of the Good Place, and there's all these, it's like a welcome lobby or whatever, and there's tables with different stuff in there, kind of like fish candy bowls or fish bowls with, like, an off angle, so kind of like a fancier fish bowl. One is Smarties, but they have, with green wrappers. This is energy you had when you were 12, used or not. Oh, then there's a thing of ring pops, but they're not wrapped. So I couldn't tell if they're used ring pops or not, or some of them might have looked, I couldn't tell. And they have a scooper, fully understanding the meaning of Twin Peaks. There's a listening station that Tahani goes to. Every nice thing anyone has ever said about you behind your back. Carly Cross likes Tahani. I'm going to have to listen to Who Weekly to figure that one out. There's a photo booth, passport photos, but look good. There's like the company that runs it's Infinite something, but it's blurry. Eleanor goes in there. Jason smells some tubes of paint or something that say hug from grandma. Chidi asks if some of his favorite philosophers are going to be there, but Janet's like, no, they didn't, like, weren't so great, but Hypatia of Alexandria will be here, so Chidi's totally pumped, like, he cannot believe it, he's overwhelmed. Chidi pumped, like, I don't know, I can't, and then the Good Place crew shows up, the Good Place committee. They say, Michael, heroes, you're more than welcome here. We have some more exciting news, the party. But, Michael, we're going to swear you in as official Good Place architect. You follow us. And there's even more chimes, more good Tahani jokes. And then Janet says, when you go through this rainbow portal, we'll go through, that's when the party will transform perfectly tailored to your essences. But they say, hey, let's walk through together then. And they walk into Jacksonville Super Suites, like bar conference room type thing. And there's a Bortles, there's a rock cut out. I'm going to pause it when it comes up here. Bedpan from Stone Cold Steve Austin, that Eleanor remembers from Vince McMahon. There's the green doors in the background that if you go through those, you can visit any place real or imagined. Okay, they're going through the portal now. And they've walked in. And let's see. Oh, boy. I hit the wrong button there. So I got to wait for them to walk through again. Kind of like my handwriting. My button pushing is not that different. There's champagne and kegs, a lot of Jacksonville Jaguars gear, fancy tables and lawn furniture, people dressed in various styles to fit all of our main characters. And you think there's some book reading going on for Chidi's sake. Oh, there are some bookshelves, beer pong, margaritas, Jacksonville Super Suites, mailmen. male persons. Yeah, let's see what else here. I'm just watching in the background. Oh, there's a shrimp soda machine. I think that's what it is. And Jacksonville Super Suites kind of seems like the place where, oh, Jason says prom and traffic court. Oh, yeah, people are reading philosophy. Yeah, some sort of shrimp soda machine. Eleanor's happy. Yeah, Jason looks happy now. So then they say, oh, it's a perfect party, but it's based on everyone's combined. So it's a mishmash. And then that's when they say, oh, these green doors, you can go any place to real or imagine. Jason wants to go race the go-karts, but they say, oh, you could dinosaurs or the Hamlet at the Globe or Tokyo Drift with monkeys. See you in 1,000 years. Oh, there's also a dude in a rainbow sweater, which they said, is that kind of like Eleanor style? Good place. Oh, that's later in a second. Chidi's starting to worry about talking to Hypatia. Because he's so nervous. Then Eleanor tells Tahani, let's talk shade about everyone here later. This is great. Then Michael goes, he's at with the Good Place team. There's this giant scroll. And they say, Michael, we got to put this ceremonial robe on you, which is, and they say, they're just so complimentary. They say, boy, do you have shoulders for a robe. Yeah, there's a big thumbs up medallion behind him. He's like, how am I going to sign this? So that's funny. They put a medal on him. He says he feels like Mary Lou Retton. And they say, now you're in charge. You're the boss now. He goes, what do you mean? They go, oh, bye-bye. Everything's no take backs. We'll see you later. And then they take off. That's when there's an ad break. Then Michael starts looking around the more modern part of the headquarters, looking for his fellow good placeman, it says. And here coming up in like a minute or so, there's like a sign that says ideas for the good place. I'll pause it there. Ideas for improvement. Then it's Lisa Kudrow. Chidi eventually meets Hypatia, who says, you can call me Patty. He's totally, his mind blown. He's stumbling over his words. It turns out he had a poster of The Matrix on his wall when he was with Trinity from The Matrix when he was a kid. Stardust. She says, let's get some Stardust milkshakes. Isn't that a good idea? They're delicious. Yeah, Chidi even asked a correction of, oh, is it Hypatia? He says there's different names. That's when she says, just call me Patty. Oh, I pictured you as Trinity from The Matrix. And yeah, Chidi can't even believe, because then he talks about blatantness. And that's when you realize she goes, geez, like, who's blatantness? Is he a think book man or a read book man? And she says, sorry, my brain's a bit foggy. That's why I don't that's why I'm not following you. And then she says, wait a second, I forgot to tell you, things aren't going good. And then there's a cut, but I'm going to cut back right now to Michael wandering. Right now in the real replay, everybody's taken off. Michael's still looking at his robe. Now he's walking the halls. Hello, good policeman. Hello. Now he goes into this office. It's a big mess. It says ideas for proving the good place. There's like so many scraps of paper, like they've been brainstorming for years. Music you could eat. Get more chocolate and chocolate. More hoverboards. Let me see. They go to a Zoom because I can't read the rest of it. Michael's reading it. Oh, wait until Beyonce gets here and ask her to fix it. Fewer hoverboards somehow. Giant mini donuts, not just regular donuts. Dave will explain. And then there's a last one that's kind of, I wonder if we zoom in, what would happen? Well, I zoomed in. There's one that's been wiped clean that isn't there. Okay, then we cut. So the cut happens, and then Tahani's talking to a Plotaball who has a Jason. A jumpsuit from Jason's dance crew, DDR. or whatever. I had to look up the name and I forgot it, but I got it for the research later. She says, what's your deal? He goes, well, I helped the poor in ancient Phoenicia. And she goes, oh, I had a soul cycle instructor named Phoenicia. Guy talks about how he's kind of tuned out, though. He has a lot of good jokes, though. He's a bit like a duller version of me, just because of the situation. Also, Janet talks to another good Janet who kind of just is filling people's random wishes, which doesn't seem very, like everybody's at, can I get a Coke, water, lamp, a cat? No, just a Coke. And they see people just ask you for stuff and you get it. And she goes, yeah, isn't that great? Spaceship Giant Junior Mint, Coke. Then Eleanor, Chidi, and Patty are outside drinking their milkshakes. And she's like, that's what I do. Drink milkshakes and do other stuff worth watching. And they said, weren't you going to tell us that everything's a bit in trouble? She goes, oh, yeah, I forgot. She goes, on paper, paradise. But once all your desires and needs are met in an infinite way and everything's perfect, you get mushy and glassy-eyed. And they go, they can't believe it. And she goes, I used to be cool and know stuff, art, music, and number piles. And they like when I say two or six, and Chidi goes, math. But she goes, when time's stretched out and every second's amazing, you kind of, you just, it doesn't. And they say, so we're just going to be glassy eyed for all of existence eventually. And then they say, well, why didn't you tell anybody? She goes, what did we tell? And then they go, okay, we got to find everybody. She also has a Bortles jersey on. So she goes, oh, there's math on my shirt. But her jersey's Hypatia, number five, actually. I don't know if Bortles is five or whoever took over for Bortles this year. I can't remember. Nick Folk or whatever. I don't know. So then everybody's trying to find one another. Tahani, Eleanor, Chidi, the caviar, jello shots we hear about. No one, first people here, no one cares. Even the good Janets are weird. Then everybody meets up. They say, this good place is not good. Everyone's a happiness zoned outer. And no one's doing anything because, you know, by the time they realize something's happening, they're gone. Patty's offering milkshakes. They go, we got to find the committee. Michael shows up. He says, I'm the committee. At some point, Patty was double-fisted with milkshakes. I think that's when Michael shows up. Eleanor has a Hufflepuff joke and a sorting hat Hufflepuff joke. Because Michael says, they put me in charge, and then they ran away. And they go, wait, we can't believe this. Some people are enjoying themselves. Jason comes back in a driving suit. And he has high energy. It goes to an ad, though, because he goes, that dream was not, got boring fast. Because he was like, well, monkeys is only fun for so long. Then you try out hippos or other beings, 50 combos. But then I missed my friends. Then we get another nutshell. I didn't realize it happened twice. Okay, that's it in a nutshell. When you can do anything and you do everything, then you're done. You still have infinity to go. Till all you have left is milkshakes. Why didn't the good place try to help? And they go, they did. Then they're back. There's an important thing at 15 minutes. Then they're back at the office trying to go through everything. They go, geez, they tried to make unicorns bigger, give them horns, do a bunch of stuff, but they were fluffy rhinos. But the committee members aren't human. And then as soon as we showed up, they took off. And then once again, Eleanor, you know, say, whose show is this? Eleanor says, you know what? I'm not giving up. Once again, we can count on Eleanor. I'm not going to give up. She has some jokes. We designed this system where people are in paradise, but this joyless cosmic Coachella. Then they said, what about a memory reset? They say, no, that's like not, we can't use the same playbook as in the ungood place. And Eleanor thinks of solutions. She says, "She's, you know, what gives life meaning is big farm, you know, the big farm or whatever is beyond the big farm. So what if we do that? The best way to restore meaning is to let people leave the good place when they so choose. They could, can we do that?" And Eleanor says, you're in good charge of the good place. You could do whatever you want. Then there's the party and Michael's missing and he shows up very silly. He says, "Cool, my babies." So I don't know if that was, if that was, my brother, me shout out or not. And Jason and Michael cracking up, talking about Taco Bell. Eleanor makes a speech. She says, "Okay, everyone, let me get your attention. I'm Eleanor Shellstrop. I hope you're having fun at this Florizona British Library extravaganza. But I guess it's not fun anymore, which is kind of the point. You're on a never-ending vacation. Only thing that makes the vacation special is at the end. Oh, also there's glass or ice swan." She goes, "So we have an idea. We're going to have a new door. And when you're finished with the good place, you just, you're satisfied. Go through that door and your time in the universe will end." And she goes, "You don't have to if you don't want to, but you can. And hopefully knowing that you don't have to be here forever will help you feel happier while you are." And they say, "Well, what will happen if you go through it?" And she says, "Well, we don't know. But it'll be peaceful and your journey will be over. You know, you led good lives. You deserve your place here. So stay as long as you like. Use green doors to do everything. And then when you're ready, walk through one last door and be at peace. Does that sound good?" And everyone's happy. There's also, I paused it to see the crowd here during Eleanor's speech. Yeah, it might be worth it. You know, there's a lot of different styles. So I don't know. I was just wanted to see what it would be. Let's see. Does that sound good? Then there's a party. Then they go to a party. Jason, DJ Music, is DJ and makes some noise. Janet's like, "That's my boyfriend." Patty's like, "Okay, eventually I'm going to get back to normal." She uses, this was a groundbreaking for me. I never knew how to spell ennui or what ennui spelled was my whole life, if whatever, E-N-N-U-I. So that's a big learning moment for me. So she says, "I'll be back. It's lucky we ran into you." And she says, "No, lucky we ran into you. You saved us." And she goes, "No, your friendship is what saved you." He goes, yeah, I know. I don't get that. So they say, "Okay, let's do it." Then we go to the old neighborhood with all the Soul Squad. Michael's like, "I got my office nearby." We see Tahani's like a castle of whatever those things are called, pillars. I think we saw Eleanor's spot. He goes, "Jason, I took a wild guess, a stupid Nick's wing dump." Jason's like, "I'm never going to get sick of wings, even if it's boring." And then they're like, "You know what, Michael, you were right. Everything is fine," Eleanor says. And you say, "Okay, but there's still one more episode left." So it's like, and I have not seen it. I will watch it probably tonight. Been waiting. And let's see, so then we have one last shot of Eleanor and Chidi. I think they're out back at Eleanor's place. It has this amazing view. It's sunrise or sunset. Totally romantic moment. Snuggled up. This is what we've been looking for since the day we met. This is what the good place is. It's not even a place, really. It's just having enough time with the people you love. You're right, and we have as long as we want. And then there's like this couple's moment over the blankets. And it's a really genuine, sweet moment, and the episode comes to a close. So now we're going to run through like what facts. Let's see here. I looked up a lot of stuff for this one. Let's see. Let's start with the J. Paul Getty Museum. You think this has come up on the show? Also, it came up because I had an amends to make from when I was in like middle school or freshman in high school to my mom's aunt, because we went to visit her in Washington, D.C. And she took us to a restaurant called J. Paul's. And I got into it. She said, this is after J. Paul. This is J. Paul Getty's restaurant, or named after J. Paul Getty. And I thought it was named after, like, because I was playing, like, this computer game based on, all the great armadas of history. And I don't know who was J. Paul, John Paul Jones or something. I don't know. I was arguing with her. Even though she lived there and took us to the restaurant, I was like, are you sure this isn't John? I was, like, explaining her. So a little bit embarrassed. But the J. Paul Getty Museum, known as the Getty, if you've been through L.A., you've seen it on the Hill. I mean, there's two campuses, the Getty Center, that's the primary museum. It's in L.A. on a hill above the 405. Very modern. It's in video games, too, so you may have even seen it. In 74, J. Paul Getty opened a museum in recreation of the Villa Museum in Malibu, and it inherited a lot of money. Let's see, and then, yeah, there's a lot on, not all good either, but there's a lot on, and it doesn't really talk, I guess maybe because I got to go to the Getty Center, that's what, I'm talking about. $1.3 billion center opened in 1997. I remember when it was getting built. I lived in L.A. Maybe I was even there. I lived there when it opened. That's interesting. I don't know if I went there when it opened. Maybe. I guess I think I did over that year. It sits atop of here. It's got a cable-pulled hover train people mover. 1.8 million visitors annually. So I don't know. I just wanted to look it up, you know, a little bit about it. How about Dorothy Gale? She's from L. Frank Baum's main protagonist in the Oz novels, which I've never read one, including the 1900 Wonderful Wizard of Oz. Appears in most of the sequels and adaptations, including the film The Wizard of Oz. And later novels, she'll be like, lives there as, you know, resident. I'm just trying to figure out what else we could learn about Dorothy Gale. Let's see. Maybe we should, let's just look up The Wizard of Oz film. Dorothy Dwan played Dorothy in the 1925 film. Then in the 1939 film, she was played by Judy Garland. My speaking inability is that was the film The Wizard of Oz. Let's see, The Wizard of Oz, what year did that come out? 1939. Its budget was $2.8 million, and it made $26 million in box office. I don't know if that was just at the time. A very famous movie. Production began when Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs showed that these kind of films could be successful. Let's see what else we got here. Had a lot of music, obviously, a timeless part of history, a lot of good remakes. It did receive much acclaim upon release, including Judy Garland's performance. Roger Ebert called it one of the great films. Comedy, music, special effects, and excitement, and a great story that, you know, penetrates to the deepest feelings of childhood and then reassures them. It's influenced a lot of people. Let's see. I'm just trying to figure out what else would be interesting to talk. I guess that's it. I want to talk about Chittenango, because I think that's where L. Frank Baum was from. And when I lived there, they would always say, oh, one day they're going to open a Wizard of Oz theme park in Chittenango, New York. That's Chittenango. And I don't think they ever did, and I probably they won't, just because I don't know if there's it's just the best place for a theme park. Like, I don't know. But they do have Chittenango Falls State Park, which I've been to. And if you're around, you should check it out. It's on the east side of Cazenovia Lake, Madison County, New York. 167-foot waterfall that cascades over 400-million-year-old bedrock. This is all from Wikipedia, everything so far. At the bottom is Chittenango Creek. It flows underneath a wooden bridge. There's picnic tables, hiking. About 45,000 people go each year. It used to have a campground. It doesn't anymore. And it's, you know, open year-round, but the falls hike is not open in the winter. So definitely, if you're in New York State, right in the central hub of New York State, you should think about checking it out, Chittenango Falls. I mean, I should try to do it the next time I'm in town. Jason talked about his brain folds and his smooth brain. And I think he's had a smooth brain joke before, because I can hear him saying smooth brain. Or someone saying it, but gyrification, G-Y-R-I-F-I-C-A-T-I-O-N, is a process of forming the characteristic folds of the cerebral cortex. The peak of the fold is a gyrus, or gyri, and the trough is known as a sulcus. The neurons rely in the cerebral cortex and a thin layer of gray matter on the surface of the brain. Much of the interior volume's got white matter. And, you know, there's a lot of other stuff, but I just was like, what are the, you know, what is it? Why? And why? They say, well, it increases the speed of brain cell communication. Since the folds allow the cells to be closer to one another, requiring less time and energy to transmit neuronal electrical impulses. So, you know, that's good to know. There's theories on causality, mechanical factors. There's a lot about it. I just thought it was interesting. I said, well, what is that called? Let me look that up. Then let's move on to Smarties here on Wikipedia. Now, in the U.S., Smarties are candy produced by Smarties Candy Company, formerly CD Candy, that's CEDE Candy Inc. They were originally produced in factories in Union Township, New Jersey, and Newmarket, Ontario. But in Canada, they were known as Rockets because Nestle has a different type of candy in the U.K. Called Smarties. The New Jersey factory produces 1 billion rolls of Smarties annually. And in total, the company produces 2.5 billion a year. Now, here's where it gets good. One individual candy is a biconcave disc in shape with a diameter of roughly 1 centimeter and a height of 4 millimeters. They come in combinations within the wrapped rolls. These include white and pastel shapes of yellow, pink, orange, purple, and green. Each color's flavor is different. Usually there's 15 candies in a roll. They're peanut-free, gluten-free, fat-free, and dairy-free. And free of animal products and suitable for vegans, according to Wikipedia. After World War II, the D family bought pellet machines. These pellet machines repurposed them to make candy. They just had a history of trying it out. They even had one with Rock the Vote in 2004 wrapper. They released a theater box in 2009 with a retro look. They changed their name to Smarties Candy Company in 2011. In 2011, they also confirmed that they're vegan. Their factories operate 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. That's making 70,000 pounds of candy a day. They contain dextrose, citric acid, calcium, stearate, and natural flavors, artificial flavors, and colors. And let's just see if we link over there to Nestle Smarties just to get a... Now, Nestle Smarties are color-varied, sugar-coated chocolate confectionery manufactured since 1937 in the UK. I love this. Oblate spheroids. Talk about, how do you learn your geometry? Candy and Wikipedia is one way. They come in 8 colors, red, orange, yellow, blue, green, mauve, how do you say that? And pink and brown. And, you know, they've changed it out depending on the colors and the coloring. And I think that's it. Round Trees of York is the ones that are making chocolate beans since 1882. I don't know if I've had a Smartie, a chocolate Smartie, but they look a bit like another candy-coated chocolate here in the U.S., but I don't know if they taste any different or not. And, of course, you know, Wikipedia, or I mean, Good Place does its research. I do my research on Wikipedia, but Good Place does it deep. But Hypatia of Alexandria was a Hellenistic Neoplatonist, a philosopher, astronomer, mathematician. At the Neoplatonic school in Alexandria, she taught philosophy and astronomy. She was the first female mathematician whose life was reasonably well recorded. Great teacher, wise counselor. She wrote a commentary on Diophantus's 13-volume Arithmetica. It was also reintegrated into the text. That's how some of it survived. Many modern scholars believe that Hypatia edited the surviving text of Ptolemy's Almagest. She is known to have constructed astrolabes and hydrometers, but did not invent them, but probably improved upon them. She was known for her tolerance, even though she was a pagan. She was tolerant towards Christians and other and any kind of students she had. And there's a lot on here on Wikipedia. So if you say, man, I want to know more about Hypatia or Hypatia, you should check it out. Her whole history, a lot of paintings of her. You know, and her trip to the Good Place is even talked in there. Now, let's say you did want to go rent it. You said, I want to create a Jacksonville Super Suites experience. Of course, this thing is trying to, I don't want to book now. It's trying to tell me to book now. I just want to look up some options. But this thing is, you know, well, let's just say, let's check in here, check out there. Okay, so here. So here's our options here. There's the Holiday Inn Express and Suites at Jacksonville Airport. Right now it's looking at, it's like $149. Looks like it has breakfast and this is on, what is this, TripAdvisor, $149. I mean, that's just today only, though. 4 out of 5 dots, 485 reviews. So the breakfast included, it looks indoor pool, looks like comfort suites near Bay Meadows near Butler Boulevard. That has 4.5 circles. It looks like it's $157. Breakfast also included. Then there's a Hyatt Place near Jacksonville Airport. That's $171. That's, I stay at those. That's like one of my preferred discount hotels. So just in case, I mean, if you say, where would Scoots prefer? Hyatt Place. But that has, those are kind of suite-esque. I don't think they have like anything to cook with. Well, I guess that doesn't make it sweet, but it has a place to sit and then a bed. Then there's Comfort Suites Airport. That's down to $121. Oh, that has 4 dots. Hyatt Place has 4 dots, but the Hyatt Place has 1,100 reviews. Everything else is in the couple hundreds. Doubletree Hilton is $439. That's at the airport, 4 dots out of 5. Hilton Garden Inn, that has 4.5 stars, 722 reviews, $274. Holiday Inn Express and Suites at Town Center is $221. That has 4 stars, but it's only 23 reviews. Hampton Inn and Suites, 4.5. Jacksonville South at Bartram Park. That's 214, 904 reviews. Then we're back at the Holiday Inn Express. So those are just some options there. If you're thinking about a trip to, if you say, I want to recreate that, probably you shouldn't do it at one of those places if you're paying, but, you know, I just want to give you the choice. How about Mary Lou Retton? Retired American gymnast, boycotted the 1984 Olympics. Oh, no, I had to boycott the 84 Olympics. She won a gold medal. Two silver medals and two bronze. Her performance made her one of the most popular athletes in the U.S. Her gold medal was historically, she won the first ever all-around gold medal at the Olympics for an American. Originally from Fairmont, West Virginia. Let's see here. Gymnastics career. She was inspired by watching Nadia Comaneci at the 1976 Summer Olympics, and she took it up, took it seriously, moved to Houston, Texas, and worked her way up. Post career, she's been famous for endorsing stuff, famous for, she was in, wasn't she, Mary Lou Retton was in Scrooged, right? And Naked Gun 33 and a third. So, I mean, that's definitely, I said that was like a great thing. Let's see, also on TV, Knots Landing, wow, Baywatch, Glee, the Super Bowl, Super Bowl commercial for Radio Shack, Dancing with the Stars. And she patented a move called the Retton Flip, which consisted of a transition front flip from the low to high bar, resulting in the gymnast perched or sitting on top of the high bar. This and many others were removed from gymnastics. So Mary Lou Retton mentioned on the episode and beloved, right? What else do we got here? Let's look up. Oh, let's find out Jason's dance career really quick. Jason Mendoza, successful DJ. This is over on thegoodplacefandom.com. Amateur EDM DJ. I don't know, see where it says his name of his dance crew. Let's see, Jason, season 2, season 3. It's got to be, what was that, season 1 or season 3 that he, let's see, Jason, they call him Childlike, Gianu, DJ Acid Cat, Mr. Music, DJ Music. Let's see, to reboot Jason, I thought it was like in season 3 that he had to go back and do everything. I don't know, I guess I didn't manage to figure out the name of Jason's dance crew. What about Hufflepuff? This is over at harrypotter.fandom.com. And learn a little bit about Hufflepuff here. Hufflepuff is one of four houses at Hogwarts School. Its founder was Helga Hufflepuff. Seemed most inclusive, hard work, dedication, patience, loyalty, fair play, rather than a particular aptitude. Emblematic animals, the badger, yellow and black are its colors. Head of Hufflepuff is Pomona Sprout, and the Fat Friar is the house's big farm buddy. Corresponds to the element of earth, that's where its colors come from, wheat and soil. The Hufflepuff point hourglass contains yellow diamonds. Oh, that's interesting. Students sorted in Hufflepuff are like good at herbology. Hardworking, we got that part. Friendly, inclusive, strong moral code, right and wrong, accepting of everyone. Also the funniest to say, Hufflepuff is definitely the best sounding. You know, what are the other, Ravenclaw, whatever, this is, Slytherin. That sounds like something you do. What have you been doing? I've been Slytherin. Who are you? I'm a Hufflepuff. Ravenclaw sounds like you're actually, like a Hufflepuff is like where Ravenclaw, you'd say, are you really Ravenclaw? And then the main one, you know, I definitely wouldn't get into that one. So whatever Harry Potter was in, I'm not even being passive aggressive. I don't know the name of it. I'll look it up. Because I guess I have something like, it's like, well, you know, I wouldn't be in that school. So, I don't know. What's the name of the houses? The four houses. Let's see. The Hogwarts houses are, I should know this off the top of my head. Gryffindor, of course. So, and if you're asking, like, I always thought I was a Slytherin, but then I took all the tests and I'm Ravenclaw. So, you know, that's who Scoots is a Ravenclaw. What about the phrase in a nutshell? This is from phrases.org.uk, the phrase finder. And we'll finish up with this. What's the meaning of in a nutshell? Well, in a few words concisely stated, but what's the origin of the phrase? And they say it's fairly easy to reduce. Anything that could be written in so few words that would fit in a nutshell would have to be brief and to the point. The first text that was supposed to be enclosed in a nutshell was far from small. Pliny the Elder recorded an event he believed to be genuine in natural history, which was written in A.D. 77, translated in 1601. Like Cicero has recorded that the poem of Homer called the Iliad was written on parchment and enclosed in a nutshell. The same writer, though, mentioned one who could see a distance of 135 miles. I don't know. There's a lot more about it. If you say, well, geez, I really want to know about more about in a nutshell. Oh, and then actually, finally, like, we'll do one more thing, just because those of you that might be taking the SAT or anything, or you want to know this, this was something I learned. Ennui is spelled E-N-N-U-I, the French ennui. And I knew this was a sight word for me, so I knew E-N-N-U-I. I never knew how to say it, but I knew what it meant, but I didn't realize that was also ennui. So E-N-N-U-I, the next time you see it, it doesn't have to just be a sight word for you. You could say, oh, that's ennui. Or the next time you say, hear someone say ennui, you could picture E-N-N-U-I. And ennui is that weariness, according to dictionary.com, the feeling of utter weariness and discontent resulting from lack of satiety or interest or boredom. And it's a noun, ennui. So, you know, I hope this podcast is a little bit different than ennui, like a kind of boredom and distraction and lack of interest that leaves you full and rested. Good night. I want to thank everybody that became a patron recently. Jill, Kate, and Celine. Thank you. Thanks. Good night. Carolyn, No Borders Beauty, and Jarrett. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Travis, Greg, and Michelle. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Rob, Adrian, and Beth. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Tania, Sam, and Jen. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Ellis, Jess, and Arthur. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Leslie, Teddy, and Amanda. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Jeremy, Susan, and Anthony. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Jody, Jesse, with an EY, and Barbara. Thanks. And good night. Elizabeth with an S. CJ and Fernanda. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Taylor, Christopher, and Ani. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Darcy, Lauren, Isaac, BD, and Declan. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Mikkel, Alexander, and Donna. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Sarah, Kiefer, and Hallie. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Molly, Mercedes, and Declan. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Paula, Amanda, Chris, and Kathy. Thank you. Thanks. And good night. Thanks everybody for supporting the show. Sleep With Me exists as a free podcast because the people that support the show are the patrons. We grow as a podcast from people naturally sharing the word about the show. And speaking of spreading the word, here's a podcast I want you to know about. Good night. All right, everybody, this is Scooter. This is Weeks in Review. And this is where I run through my Weeks in Review stuff. What was on Sleep With Me Plus in the past month. And what you can expect to see on in the public feed too. Now I have if you sign up for Sleep With Me Plus, or you're already signed up for Sleep With Me Plus, I highly recommend using a podcast app that allows search within the feeds, but using just one podcast app for Sleep With Me Plus content only. And then keeping your other podcasts, your daytime podcasts, and whatever app you use now. And I would just check out a couple podcast apps you could choose from on Apple are Overcast, iCatcher, Pocket Casts. And on Android, you could try out Pocket Casts or Podcast Addict. For this example, I have the only thing I have in this, my app is the Boyfriends level. I have four podcasts, the ad-free full episodes, the story-only episodes. Nothing in Sleep With Me Plus has ads except for the really old episodes in the archives. We got the story-only versions of the show, the all-intro, all-night versions of the show, and then the bonus episodes. So let's start with the bonus episodes, actually. So Saturday, a new Posty episode came out. It was one that Russell loved, and that came out. And that's in the bonus feed. You know, some people like listening to Posty Super Deluxe episodes during the day. Some people sleep to them. And, yeah, so that one is in the bonus feed. And then looks like we got a bonus coming out for Boar Besties and Boar Friends on Thursday of this week, which is April 15th when I'm recording this. And then we have another Posty Super Deluxe came out a couple weeks ago. That was a picnic lunch with Scooter. And that's in the bonus feed. And that makes just so much easier for those of you that don't like automate your playlist or anything, just to kind of build and choose how you want to listen. Let's pop into all intro, all night episodes. I know an all-intro episode is coming out this Thursday. Last Thursday was Make Great Pets Season 1 Part 2, almost 6 hours. It's about the max length we can get and have a good file size. So that was like 7 episodes of Make Great Pets. April 3rd, all-intro episode came out. And then we had... March is a bonus episode. So there was another all intro episode. So that's in the all intro all night feed. And again, like so much easier, like these all intros. Is that what everything that's in there? 277 episodes split between all. So if you love all intros, I bet 200 of those are all intros, maybe even more. And then in the store, both in the story only episode feed and then in the all ad free feed. Let's run through the new episodes. Bring It On Week started last week. So we had 12:54 was our first watch along where I watched half of the movie Bring It On. Wednesday was 12:53, Ben Broughton, the Crayon Rambler. That was one of those episodes that had an intro that I said I should make an episode based on this intro. Went to make an episode based on the intro, and it went in an even another direction of what if there was an RPG game based on the movie Bring It On, which led me to figure out I never watched Bring It On. Let me learn more. Then I ended up watching Bring It On. Then April 7th was Alba Sabelix, like we're getting ready, big announcement if I haven't made it anywhere. We're going to do 3 seasons of a crossover with Alba Salix. So that's cool. So that's something we're looking forward to doing. And that was episode 1 of that. Or that was the one we did originally. Then 12:52 was the finale of The Great British Bake Off. And episode 10... Then Multiplex 5, Tiki Transistor Hut, that was a good one. 12:50, one of my favorite episodes, probably in the past few years, a Willy Wonka tour that came out of like some news articles about experience. And I said, this has got to be an episode. And that will be a series, I mean, like a recurring thing. Then Great British Bake Off, episode 9, Patissier. And Multiplex episode 4, And then we're back to our last audio news. So it's everything. And again, if you ever needed support, support at supercast.com is there to help you. So if you're listening to this episode, I'm assuming you're not like, you don't need support, but if you do. And the other thing is like, yeah, these this is my main way to communicate. I learned this on Patreon. Most people just don't read their emails from Supercast or from me. And most people aren't on our Discord or follow our social media. And so these messages are how the majority of supporters get their information. I do it in a sleepy voice because there's like, I put it in the, at the end of the free show too. But this is a kind of key way, but these episodes are easy to skip, especially if you're just using one podcast app, right? And building your playlists from that podcast app. So yeah, thanks everybody for supporting the show. Reach out if you have any feedback at sleepingmepodcast.com. If you need support at supercast.com, and good night.